Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Turn up your volume, because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast, with Tony Marinaro.
55 seconds left in the penalty, a minute and 27 seconds left in regulation time. Boston 4, Montreal 3. Lafleur coming out rather gingerly on the right side. He gives it into Lemaire, back to Lafleur. Oh!
The Sickest Montreal Canadiens Podcast.
You're in the ball!
Sports entertainement like no other.
Rejoins, on lui fait perdre la rondelle, une passe devant. Et c'est bon, c'est ce sera la victoire des Canadiens. Stanley pour les Canadiens, le 23e de l'histoire.
You found the dogs! John, you found the dogs! He found the dogs!
And all together, they worked a young team to the top. And now, a 24th Stanley Cup banner will hang from the rafters of the famous Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
Brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. LaB.TV. It's gonna be sick.
Marinaro on this Monday, June 5th. It is 1 minute past 10 o'clock Eastern, and it is the Sick Podcast brought to you in part by Playground, who has over 600 machines, poker tournaments, and Playground casino games, daily promotions, and unmatched customer service. Why go anywhere else? Located just over the Mercier Bridge, only minutes from downtown Montreal. Also brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group. They have been named by the Financial Times as one of America's fastest growing companies in 2023 and have been recognized by the Globe and Mail as a top growing Canadian company for over 2 years in a row now. They work with some of the biggest Fortune 500 companies, providing end-to-end logistics services. Join a winning team and check out Energy's career page for available opportunities. Also brought to you in part by these guys, LaB.TV, brewed in Quebec, a winner of a dozen international awards. LaB.TV offers quality microbrewery beers made with premium ingredients for everyone's taste. LaB.TV, embrace your true nature. And also brought to you by Murphy Clinic, an aesthetic clinic specializing in medical aesthetic care. They offer permanent laser hair removal. That's right, permanent. Under the armpits, you see? What a beautiful thing. Oh, I'm so clean. I'm unbelievable. As well as a wide range of treatments for skin problems such as acne, rosacea, fine lines, and more. They currently have two clinics, one located in Montreal, Champagne, and the second on the North Shore in Terrebonne. They're also opening soon in Quebec City. Visit murphyclinic.ca or on Instagram at Murphy Clinic. All right, okay. Today, of course, we all know was a very, very big day. And I think it was a pretty good day and a pretty good weekend for the Sick Podcast as well. On Thursday, we told you that we were hearing that Cole Caulfield, the talks were heating up between Caulfield and the Montreal Canadiens, and it looked like it was going to be a very long-term deal. On Friday morning, we tweeted this. That's not the one from Friday morning. That was from last night. There's another one from Friday morning, if we can. Let's see if we can bring it up. That's the one. Cole Caulfield contract update. Yesterday, I reported that I'm hearing Cole Caulfield's new contract with the Canadiens will not be more than Nick Suzuki's cap hit of $7.875 million. Today, I was just informed talks progressing. All signs point towards a 7 or an 8 year deal. So that was on Friday morning at 10:26 a.m. Yesterday, I was on my way to the Umberto Tozzi concert that took place at the Embassy Plaza in Laval. But before going there, I pulled a pit stop and I went to Cafe Milano's in Laval. And when I walked in, a bunch of people were asking me about Cole Caulfield. So I doubled down and I tweeted this. I'm at Cafe Milano's in Laval and everyone's asking me about Cole Caulfield's next contract with the Canadiens. I stand by my report. 7 or 8 year deal. Cap hit won't be more than Suzuki's $7.85 million. We're nearing the finish line. Stay tuned. Also took some video footage. Let's see.
Marinaro, I'm checking in from Cafe Milano's in Laval. Why? Well, because the second I walked in, there's a bunch of people, and everyone's asking me about my report on Friday. Cole Caulfield, that I'm hearing a 7 or an 8 year deal, and a deal that will not be more than Nick Suzuki's $7.85 million. So Marco here asked me about Cole Caulfield. His father Frank here asked me about Cole Caulfield. Everyone in Cafe Milano's is asking me about Cole Caulfield. Hey Tony, how confident are you in your report? Very confident, very confident. We are nearing the finish line. I stand by my report, a 7 or an 8 year deal that will not be more than $7.85 million per year. Once again, we are nearing the finish line. Marinaro, the sick podcast. Pretty sick news.
That was last night at 7:25 p.m. and earlier this morning at around 9 a.m., the Montreal Canadiens made it official. Indeed, an 8 year deal at $7.85 million. Cole Caulfield will be a Montreal Canadian for the next 8 years. Is cap hit just under Captain Nick Suzuki's? Because, of course, the Montreal Canadiens wanted to maintain that hierarchy. No one's going to make more than Nick Suzuki, at least not for the present future, or right, not for the present or not for the near future. And we'll see what happens after that. I'm very, very happy to be joined by a gentleman who's going to be joining me for the second time right here on the Sick Podcast. He joined me probably give or take about 3 weeks ago, and I was so impressed by him, and so were you, and you all wanted him back by popular demand. By the way, this is such huge news for the Montreal Canadiens that today was a special day for the Sick Podcast because we performed a doubleheader. So Cole Caulfield met with members of the media via Zoom call. He had a presser via Zoom earlier today at 1 p.m. So members of the media had a few articles to write and some work to get done. So we made our own very own Eric Engels of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca write for Sportsnet, do his stuff. And we went live at 3:30 p.m. So it was a doubleheader today. So in case you missed it, go to our YouTube channel. You know that by now, that by subscribing, it's absolutely free. And you can check out Eric. We went on for just over 30 minutes with Eric earlier today, and now I bring in former NHLer, Philippe Boucher. How you doing?
Really good. How about you?
Very, very well, Phil. It's an exciting day for the city of Montreal, for Montreal Canadiens fans. Also an exciting day in Quebec City, and so was yesterday, because Les Remparts du Québec won la Coupe Memorial. They won the Memorial Cup, and I haven't had a chance to congratulate them yet because I was so caught in the mix of this whole Caulfield news and working on breaking that last night. Congratulations to the city of Quebec, the province of Quebec, fans of the Quebec Remparts, the entire organization. And Phil, what a job by Patrick Roy. I don't know if I've ever seen him coach better than that.
Yeah, anybody involved in junior hockey, right? I was involved just a few months ago with Drummondville, and you got to be so proud when a team from Quebec wins the Memorial Cup. I was part of a Memorial Cup team years and years ago. Bob Hartley was the head coach, and Michel Therrien was the assistant coach in 1993. We went to Sault Ste. Marie trying to win the Memorial Cup, but way back then we didn't have – our teams weren't strong enough. And now if you look back, 20, 25 years later – the teams from Quebec, we won four years in a row. Well, over 6 years because of COVID. But the last four Memorial Cups have been won by teams from the Quebec League. And we have to be proud of that. And a hell of a job from Patrick Roy and Simon Gagné and Ben DeRosier. And a lot of people I used to work with. I was coaching the Remparts for 5 years before Patrick came back. And then they put so much time and effort into it. And the whole city. Listen, 18,000 people a night during the finals, 16,000 a night during the semifinals, and everybody got back behind the Remparts. And it's so great to see that they first brought back the President Cup to Quebec City, the first time as the new Remparts, the second generation of Remparts, they were able to bring the President Cup. I tried to when I was a coach in 2015, and we came a shot away game seven, lost in second overtime and double overtime. And we also tried to bring the Memorial Cup back that year and lost in the semifinal. But hats off to Patrick, Simon, and everybody involved. Nicole Bouchard, that's been there forever as the true GM of that team, as Patrick knows and I know, and Jacques Tanguay and everybody, the team president. So we're really happy. When it was a big party in town, I know a lot of people that are there tonight. So enjoy. It's well deserved.
We'll try and get in another word on that Impact du Québec maybe at the end of this conversation. Yeah. But of course, everyone watching right now on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and Twitter Live, mostly Montreal Canadiens fans are pretty excited about the news. They've been waiting, Phil, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, waiting and waiting and waiting. Is this going to happen? At one point, some people got nervous because they figured, oh, man, they must be talking about a short-term deal because Cole Caulfield loves the Canadiens. The Canadiens love Cole Caulfield. Yeah. The fans love him. They thought a long-term deal would have been done a long time ago, but it's done, Phil. Your first impressions on the term and the cap hit.
Yeah. I was 100% convinced when he had surgery that the deal was almost done. And I know the agent was my agent when I played, and André Ruel worked, my son plays in the minor leagues, and André Ruel works for Patton. And what I kept hearing at the time is it going to be a short-term deal or a long-term deal? That was the debate they had at the time. And I'm pretty sure the two parties here, the Caulfield side of it and the Montreal side of it, they had a good conversation all the way. They knew this was going to get done. It takes a lot longer than us in the media. Now I'm part of the media, would like to see it. Oh, we wish we would have seen that contract get done in January, February, March, or whatever. But it took a little bit longer than people thought. But to me, this is a win-win situation. Cole Caulfield has got more money than he ever dreamed of when he was a young kid, when he grew up in Wisconsin or wherever, and then played hockey. And then the Montreal Canadiens are just signed a player that put people in the seats in Montreal this winter when it was a very, very tough season. But not only did he put the fans in the seats, but he got them to stand up and to cheer about the team, him and Suzuki and Gouley and a lot of the other guys. But the main reason a lot of people went to the Bell Center was to see Caulfield score some goals and see his smile and his enthusiasm. And to me, it's a win-win situation. I keep hearing today, who won this part of the deal? Who cares, right? If Montreal wins, Caulfield wins. If Caulfield wins, Montreal wins. Because Montreal will want a winner sooner or later. Montreal is going to have to win. Martin Saint-Louis wants to win hockey games. Kent Hughes wants to win a hockey game. Gorton came to Montreal to bring back the Stanley Cup hopes that everybody's having in town. I think it's a start. The problem with the NHL now, when I first started to play, you needed to be 32 to be a free agent. And then you got your money based on what you did for the first 10, 12 years in your career. Now it's totally different. Now you play a year or two, you get at the end of your entry-level contract, and the team has to decide, oh, do we go with you or do we go with somebody else? Kirby Dach in Chicago, right? Yeah. They decided to go with somebody else. You might regret it. Well, Montreal, they made a trade years ago for Suzuki. They signed him long-term. They just signed Caulfield. And to me, it's perfect. It's great, and it's good news for the kid first, and then for his family and for the entire organization.
Phil, earlier this evening, I was at TVA Sport, of course, with my hit Monday to Thursday with Jean-Charles Lajoie at the GEC.
Yeah.
And, when my hit was over, I was making my way outside the building to go to my truck, and I bumped into Maxime Lapierre. And I appreciate Max because he's very opinionated, and I like people like that. And most fans seem to think, and they're in love with Caulfield, rightfully so, right? And they seem to think, wow, this is a steal for the Montreal Canadiens. And they got themselves Cole Caulfield locked up for the max term, 8 years. And you get him under a number, under $8 million and under Suzuki's cap hit. And this is great. And this is a big time win for the Canadiens. Well, Max Lapierre said, look, it's a win for the Canadiens, but for everyone saying the Canadiens got him at a steal, hold on a second here. Oh. He's played 123 regular season games and only played 46 regular season games this season, and he's going to touch over $10 million Canadian. And Maxime Lapierre said to me, Caulfield's getting himself a pretty good deal here too. So I know you said it doesn't matter who wins the deal, but for the sake of conversation, I'm curious of your opinion of what Maxime Lapierre told me.
It's all going to be a matter of, does he stay healthy and can we surround him? Can Montreal surround him? Suzuki's a good young player. He's still a young player. Who's going to be on the left wing? Who's going to play with them? Who's going to help them get to the next level? Gouley is going to be a number one defenseman in this in the NHL sooner or later. It might take 2, 3, 4 years. Is Montembeau going to be the number one? What are they going to do? Who's going to are they going to be able to bring free agents? So it's got. We talk about one player right now, but it's a team game, right? You see what's going on in the playoffs right now. It takes a lot more than a good duo to bring this team to the next level. But to me, in the new NHL, when I played, there's no way this contract would have got signed. It wasn't going to work that way. You were not going to take a big gamble on a guy that played, you know, 100 and some games, like you said. But he's a natural goal scorer. The big gamble right now is he going to stay healthy? And to me, if he stays healthy, he's going to score a lot of goals. The Montreal Canadiens are going to need a lot more than a number one center and a goal scorer to get to the next level. But it's a good step. In today's NHL, it's a very good step in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'm not worried. I know a lot of people. There's some people, every time you sign a deal, right, you're always going to have 1, 5, 10, 15, or 20 years. I don't like the deal because then in the end, if they're right, they're one of few. But I say this, you know, did he get injured? Yes. Everyone gets injured at one point in time. It doesn't mean because he got injured that he's an injury-prone player. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the ensemble of his career, he's not a player that gets injured often. He protects himself very well. He's very cerebral. He sees the ice very well. And I take a look at that injury, Phil, and coming from a guy like yourself who's probably suffered more than his share of injuries, it's not the worst injury in the world either, right? It's not like his brain is bruised. It's not like it's an ACL.
No.
It's a shoulder injury. I get it. There's some rehab involved, but we shouldn't be scared off from an injury like that.
No, not at all. It was one of the toughest ones to come back from. And to come back from, I mean, the first couple of weeks, but you don't play for another 5 months. So you don't sleep at all. It's a tough rehab to do. But it's not a major surgery. And if you go around a hockey locker room and you take labrum or MRIs of all the players' shoulder, everybody has a torn labrum. So I'm sure it needed to be done. But it was in the season where it was okay to leave people on the side, right? The injury room of the Montreal Canadiens was filled with players. It was a smart decision to say, listen, you may have a problem or you do have a problem. It's not a major problem. Let's fix it right now. We'll take care of your contract. You'll be healthy next year. And let's move on. And no, it's not a surgery. Now, with today's medical staff that the NHL has, once you get that surgery done, it shouldn't be a problem ever again. And he's a smart player. He goes in the scoring area. He goes into traffic. He's a well-built kid. He's been on the small side his whole career. And whatever it was the Team USA and then college and the NHL. And he's managing to stay healthy most of the time. That's the only gamble. To me, because a natural goal scorer like that scored at every level, and as soon as he got into the NHL, well, mainly under Martin St-Louis, but he found that touch again, he's not going to lose it. He's going to score goals. If he stays on the ice, he's going to be a good player for the Montreal Canadiens.
Phil, once upon a time when you used to play, the mentality in the National Hockey League or the philosophy was if you had a small skilled player at the forward position, you tried to insulate him with a big body or two on his line. And take a look at Marty St. Louis, for example. He was on the Spitting Chicklets podcast probably about a week ago, and he said that at times the coach would play him with Brad Richards. At times the coach would play him with Vincent Lecavalier. Even though Vincent was not known to be a tough
player. Two pretty good players.
Vincent was known to be able to take care of himself, and every now and then when the wires touched, he dropped the gloves. And Marty said that Vincent really used to have his back, opened up a lot of ice for him. And at times, Vincent would say to Marty, hey, is this player bothering you? And if Marty would say yes, Vincent would actually try and take care of business. I don't know what your perspective is right now, how much hockey has changed or not. But should a small player still be insulated? Should the Canadians go out and look to acquire a bigger player who can defend Caulfield, open up some ice for him, be there to put out a fire just in case a fire is about to start? Your thoughts?
Depends on what your division is like, what your conference is. When hockey has really changed. You know, they signed Pizzetta for 2 years. What is he going to do if he's not going to defend Cole Caulfield? Do you need another one? Do you need a Reeves? Do you need someone else? Maybe. You need somebody that can play. I wish Montreal would have kept Delorier years ago. Do you bring him back and you have him play with Pizzetta on the same line? Probably not. I think you got Edmondson on the back. Savard is a big guy. The NHL has changed a lot. And for Martin St-Louis, when there was not a lot of smaller guys, when Martin played, there was not very, very few small players. Like Donald Ouellette was one of them that I played years ago with in Buffalo, and he really took care of me. And then these guys needed bigger guys like us. And I wasn't a tough guy, but mainly your line of defense and your wingers were a lot bigger than they are today. But no, I don't think they need to do that. They have Pizzetta. They need to be a team that grinds it out, that plays hard. You know, Harvey Pinard plays the right way. If he's on the line with him, he's not going to defend him. But who's going to go after those guys? No, I don't see them. I don't see the Montreal Canadiens having to bring one tough guy. They decided to bring Pizzetta. It's probably because they feel like he can do the job. They feel like and you get a couple guys on the line of defense that can do it. Jack Eye can do it too. Who else do you need? Do you need a third one to do that? I don't believe so. Hey, one thing about you broke the news, right, about Caulfield?
Yeah.
And when was that?
Exactly. Well, I
got a little story for you.
I had it on Thursday. The talks were heating up, looking at 7 or 8 years.
And then Friday, I went back with
not only 7 or 8 years, but I said it would not be Suzuki 7.875. And then I doubled down or maybe even tripled down last night and said I stood by my report. And you're looking at $7.85 million in a 7 or an 8 year deal. And the news broke this morning. It was official this morning at 9 a.m.
You would have had it before me, but Saturday was my golf tournament. Right? It was in Quebec City with David Desharnais and Antoine Vermette. And we had about 650 people for dinner. And we raised about $150,000 in the golf tournament with 99 foursomes. And then somehow, I wouldn't say in the middle of the night, but around 1 a.m. I ended up on a FaceTime with Cole Caulfield. That was a little weird. I don't have to explain everything about it.
Yeah.
But Cole Caulfield was on the phone, was on FaceTime with me, and he seemed to be having a good time. So maybe he was, obviously he knew that he signed the contract and he was having a good time. It was well deserved for him.
Fantastic stuff. Hey, congratulations on raising all that money. I mean, you must be so proud.
Thanks.
And I hope that I could be able to attend one of your golf tournaments in the near future, if you don't mind.
Right, you're invited next year, bud.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So Cole Caulfield earlier today. Oh, by the way, would you allow me to answer my own question? Because I have a philosophy on this, whether it's right or wrong. I believe nowadays when you have a small player or maybe two smaller players, and I know Suzuki's got a thick body. He's 5'11", but he's thick. He's stocky. And Caulfield's obviously not very big. He's probably 5'7" on a very, very good day. My opinion is you can complement them with another offensively skilled, and it doesn't matter if the player is undersized at home, on home ice.
Yeah.
But I prefer to see a bigger body make some room for them when they play on the road. Now, we all know that to have an elite power forward like a Matthew Tkachuk or a Brady Tkachuk, you're going to have to draft
a
player
like
that. There's
only a few of them,
Or you're going to have to make a franchise deal kind of trade. But like, let's say, for example, a Marcus Foligno, you know, let's not get a debate whether it's Marcus Foligno, because some are going to say, well, Foligno can't really skate with those guys. But you know what I'm trying to say? I wouldn't mind seeing a player with that kind of jam on a line guys when they play on the road.
I had Mathieu Olivier in town, right? That plays in Columbus, a top buddy, the Appizzetta, but about Bertuzzi.
I like
he could play with them.
I like
he
him.
He could play
much.
With them.
I like him.
And
very
would he
much.
Want to play? The thing is, when you sign Caulfield and Suzuki long term, now can you bring free agents that want to play with them? That's the big key. Can you have somebody to say, listen, I'm going to sign 4 or 5 years. I'm going to play with those two guys. Sometimes you do sign a player and you think they're going to fit with certain players and it doesn't work out. But that's something I would really pursue, because he's not Tkachuk, because Tkachuk is, to me, Tkachuk is one of a kind right now, especially what he does in the playoffs. And Marchessault that just scored again, I think, is one of a kind.
Yeah, it's 5-1 for Vegas with 17 minutes left in regulation. Yeah,
that's a different player. But I would agree that somebody with grit would fit and could. And you know, we work with GC every day. He likes Dubois. Dubois is a center to me. But could Dubois, even though he's not a tough guy, but he can be a power forward, he could give those two guys space. Kirby Dach did it. I think Kirby Dach is a number two center for the Montreal Canadiens. But I do agree with somebody with some size, some grit would help. And I think when you know those two guys, they're, of course, Suzuki and Caulfield are going to play together. If I'm a free agent, I'm looking for a good place to play, and not just for tax reason, for a great hockey market to play, I would love to play with those two guys. That's
yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure you're right. I'm sure, you know what? Tyler Bertuzzi is a great name, by the way. I love this player. I thought he was a perfect fit in Boston. I think he would be a perfect fit in Montreal playing with those two guys if Kirby Dach ends up being another, you know, a second line centerman. Now, Cole Caulfield was asked a bunch of questions earlier today at around 1 o'clock this afternoon for his presser. I want to get to a couple of questions and his answers. One was, if he can look into a crystal ball, what does he see for him and Suzuki over the next couple of years and for the team? Let's listen carefully.
I want you to look into a crystal ball now. Nick's going to be here for a very long time. You're going to be here for a very long time. What do you see you guys doing as a duo, and what do you see doing with this group?
I think Nick and I are just going to continue to grow on what we've done already. I think there's a lot more out there to get, obviously, but you know, what we've built, you know, so far in these 3 years is something special. And I think, you know, we're only going to get better as the years go on. So, you know, that for us is one part. You know, we want to be leaders of the team and kind of grow our team in the right direction and push everybody every day. So I think that our energy, our passion kind of feeds off the rest of the team. And I think, you know, like I said earlier, it's contagious in the room right now, what we got. And, you know, everybody's positive. Everybody kind of trusts what we're doing. And I think only good things can happen from that. And, you know, we'll take it one step at a time, one year at a time, and go from there and kind of set short-term expectations throughout the year and just try and get better every day and, you know, kind of do your best and kind of see what happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about winning in this league and especially in this organization. So we want to get back there as fast as possible.
Speaking of getting better and doing your best, so Eric Engels of Sportsnet then asks Cole Caulfield, actually asked him first, it was, how do you, Cole, rate you and Suzuki as a top 1-2 punch compared to other top twos from other teams, notably teams in your division? Listen carefully.
Well, you talked about putting pressure on yourself on a daily basis. When you look around, even just your own division, some of the top line talent on each team is enormous. How do you think you and Nick Suzuki as a pairing measure up against that top line talent that you're being paid to produce and you're going to go up against some of the best players in the world on a night-to-night basis now with this contract in hand?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're excited for this challenge. I think, you know, the team that we can be built around, you know, also it's very exciting. I think, you know, every year we kind of learn a little bit more. We get a little bit more experience under our belt. You know, we got some older guys in the team that are teaching us a lot of things too. I know we got a tough division, but you know, in these next couple of years, we should be able to compete in this division. And I think might be one of the toughest in hockey, if not the best. So you know, for us, we look at it as a challenge, and every day, kind of getting better and growing our team, growing our games. And you know, I'm just excited for what's to come. And I think, you know, having Nick along my side will, you know, us to just be competing every day and trying to get better and conquer those teams.
Phil, if you were the general manager of the Montreal Canadiens and you had locked up for the next 7 years Nick Suzuki at $7.875 million, and you had locked up Cole Caulfield for the next 8 years at $7.85 million, how comfortable, 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, would you be that those are your top two players on your team going up against top twos of other teams?
I know I don't have McDavid and Draisaitl under contract, but they also don't make that much. And I know it's you're going to win with a team. I'm not saying Edmonton's never going to win, and it's those two, the double-headed monster's fault. They're doing their best there, but they're handcuffed a little bit money-wise in Edmonton. I would be very happy. I would be very happy to have those two guys. And you know what? Kirby Dach might be the number one center of the Montreal Canadiens in 3 years when they win. And if they get Dubois or whatever, and they would be okay. Those guys, they want to be part of it. And what I like in his first answer was, it's contagious in our locker room. And then we want to win. And they know it's a long process. They're buying in. They like playing for Martin St. Louis. They want to be in Montreal. Suzuki first wanted to be in Montreal. Caulfield could have signed a shorter term deal and say, listen, like Matthews in Toronto, you know, there's a big question mark. Is he going to be back? Is it going to work? Does he really want to be here? Well, there's no question mark about Caulfield. He wants to be in Montreal. He wants to win. He loves to be here. And it is contagious. And then that's and he wants to be a leader. He's not shying away from it. He's like, yeah, I got my money. I want to score goals. He wants to be a leader. And it's pretty special that Montreal Canadiens are – Suzuki is a very, very young player that does everything right. That even the veterans, when they hear you hear them talk about Suzuki, they're buying what he's doing. And then obviously with Martin Saint-Louis with his leadership and Stéphane Robidon, Burrows, and everyone. So those kids want to be here. Now they just – they will need some help. So to answer your question, if I'm the GM, I'm extremely comfortable with what I've done. But – if we want to bring a cup back to Montreal within 4, 5, 6 years, there's a lot of work that needs to be done again. And my main goal is we've been drafting. We need to do everything we can to squeeze everything out of those guys. Not everybody's going to play in the NHL, but you know, the more assets we have, the more people we can move out, the more picks we have to improve this team is going to be important. And the free agency market is going to be important. How can we make Montreal attractive for a player? Because it's very difficult for Canadian teams to attract players. We know, like, what in the Final Four this year, three teams were teams that have no taxes, right? No state tax. So it's a big, big factor where players go to Dallas, to Florida, to Arizona, to Vegas. It's a big factor. But how can we make Montreal attractive to Bertuzzi, to other players? That would be my main goal, because now I believe that we signed and drafted the main core of what's going to be a winning team. So how can we add to that? That would be my next step, because you're always moving. They knew they were going to sign Caulfield. Now they're already onto the draft. What can we do for trades? And once they make the trades and the draft, what can we do on July 1st? That's my main interest going to be for July 1st. I'm not saying they're going to hit a home run on July 1st. But to be able to sign one or two guys that say, hey, this is where I want to play. I want to be around Caulfield. I want to be around Suzuki. I believe in the Montreal market. I want to be happy here. That would be my main concern for a GM if I could do that. It would be a big hit if he can bring free agents to Montreal.
So I asked Caulfield about free agents earlier today. Listen carefully.
He is around the corner, obviously right after the draft. If a coveted free agent would call you, what would you say? I mean, Montreal has been a tough sell over the years. So let's just say a coveted free agent is in talks with Kent Hughes and Kent says, Cole, I could probably use your help. What would you say to sell Montreal?
It's the best place to play. I think guys that play in the league that are on the road in Montreal, they know it's just a fun atmosphere to play in. It's, for me, every night feels like a Saturday, no matter what day you're playing. I mean, it's a special city. The fans are the best part. No matter what happens, they're always our number one supporters. And I think the way this team's going, the coaching staff, the management, they all know what they're doing. And you just got to trust that process. And I think with the guys that we have right now, we're building something special. And, you know, whether we're making some additions, some tractions, whatever. I think, you know, if we all buy into this process and trust it and what we're doing, I think, you know, everything will turn out the way it's supposed to.
To me, every night or every game feels like a Saturday.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool answer.
It's and you know what? The fans hold you accountable. They should get the best out of you, because you don't want to disappoint the fans in Montreal, right? And I've played in Montreal many times. Not enough, honestly, because I was on markets in LA and Dallas, where sometimes we only came once every 2 years. But it was always special for us Quebec players to come back. But the same could be said for like players from Europe that only play there once every couple of times. It's very different. Montreal, Toronto, the Rangers. But honestly, there's nothing that compares to Montreal. The knowledge of the fans and how they appreciate their team, how they can get on you, right? Media can get on you, but it holds you accountable. It should get the best out of you. And then for Cole Caulfield, he's proven it. He wants to be here. He wants to handle the pressure. He knows there's pressure coming with this contract. Suzuki knows there's pressure coming to this contract. Last year was a write-off. It was a year without pressure. Like we're playing to win hockey games. But do we really want Connor Bedard? Nobody really knew. I think you wanted Connor Bedard, right? A lot of people did.
Big time.
And it was okay. But it would have been unbelievable. Imagine if that would have ever happened. But starting next year, it's all about winning. It's all about winning hockey games. It's all about getting back to the playoffs. And there's a lot of teams. Ottawa is going to be in the running. There's a lot of teams. There's a lot of solid teams out east right now. And there's a lot of up-and-coming teams that are going to be battling with Montreal. But today's a positive sign. Today's is very positive on a player like that that say, no, I don't want that short-term contract. I want to be here. I'll help bring free agents into town. And I agree with him. I can only I retired years ago, but I wish I would have played in Montreal. I was told I was almost traded to Montreal once, and wow. I wish I could have played for them, but it never happened.
All right. I want you to listen in on this one. How life-changing is $62.8 million?
This mean to your family and just, you know, having, we're talking about more than $60 million. It's a massive amount of money. Like, how life-changing is that for you?
To be honest, it really doesn't make sense to me. It's something that, I could have just dreamed about as a kid, but even this number probably wouldn't even have popped into my head. I mean, I just love the game much, and to be able to do this in a place like Montreal for that amount of money. I mean, put the money aside, I just love being in Montreal, but it's huge to kind of have my family safe and things like that. So I couldn't be more proud. My parents are very excited. My family's all excited. So I think we're in a really good spot.
So, Phil, when we started this venture, which is the Sick Podcast, about 2.5 years ago, and we've been going full time now, probably since the month of September, we've probably had, you know, over 100 collaborators and people join us on the podcast. And there's a reason why I have you tonight on what I consider a very, very important night in Montreal sports history and for Montreal Canadiens fans, the city of Montreal and the Montreal Canadiens. And the reason why I chose you, Phil, is you were a Pittsburgh Penguin in 2008 and 2009. And you played on a team with Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby. And Malkin was 22 years of age at the time, Caulfield's current age. Crosby was 21 years old. So with Eric earlier this afternoon, I took the podcast down a certain angle. And with you tonight, I want to take it down another angle.
Sure.
$62.8 million can change people. All of a sudden, you can have a heck of a lot of fun. We know that this is a city that has temptations. We know that there are people and players who stayed very grounded and were able to have success regardless of all the temptations and all the money. We also know that there are some players that with the money and the temptations and the pressures that come with it, Montreal got the better of them and they ended up getting burned. If you were the general manager of this team, how worried would you be about 22-year-old Cole Caulfield signing an 8-year extension where he could get comfortable? He's going to be cashing in $62.8 million. Talk to me about that. And maybe talk to me about, you know, the way Pittsburgh used to do it.
I would be worried about anyone on my team in Montreal or anywhere else when you give them that much money. I was lucky enough to make good money when I played in the NHL, but it was nowhere near that. Just back to his answer, when he said it's unbelievable, astonishing amount of money. He never dreamed of that. This kid, that's why we like him. I think he would play for free. It's not about the money. He left it. No, he knows he's a good player. He wants to get paid. Pat, get me a contract that I deserve, but I'm still going to play. Right. So I don't think to him the dollar amount was that important. But after that, once you do have that in your pocket, you need a good surrounding. I think the NHL teams, that's what you see more and more young players in the NHL that live with veteran players that have kids, just exactly to for some of them to learn what it's like to be a pro, for some of them to maybe stay out of trouble. There's a whole lot of trouble to that you can find anywhere, not just in Montreal. And I don't know if I could have handled 60 some million dollars when I was 22 years old, but let's hope that he can. Suzuki seems to be able to do it. It's about who you bring. We talked about free agent. I talked to him, and you did too, but you need to bring quality free agents. You need to be worried about who you bring in to play with those guys, because, yes, you do have money. They can do whatever they want for the rest of their life. That money is guaranteed. That money is not going anywhere. So I would be worried, but I believe that before you gave them that money, you did a little bit of your homework. You know the quality of the person. if you want to be in a marriage with that player, whatever you want to call it, for so long, you did your homework. You believe that this kid can handle it. You believe that this kid main focus is to play hockey and to bring a cup back to Montreal. So we'll give him a chance, but that kind of money ruined just about anybody. Let's hope that he stays as focused as he has been in the last couple of years and to get there. Because it takes a lot of work to get there. They do get paid early now. They do get paid very early now. For the last 5 years or so, that's the way it's been going. But they put in a lot of work and effort to get there. And he deserves that money in today's NHL. And let's hope he keeps his head on straight.
We know that Sid stayed at Mario's place for a very long time. Closer to home in Montreal, Josh Georges took Brendan Gallagher under his wing for several years. And Brendan Gallagher was never in the media outside. You know, he never got himself into any trouble. I mean, that was an awesome gesture by Georges, and it really helped shape Gallagher's career. I know you can't impose players to stay with other players, but you know, once again, I know you said you have to trust the player, but would you kind of suggest that he stay with somebody? Because,
Think when Mario Lemieux tells Sid, you should stay in my house, Sid says yes. And then once you see the house, you understand why we had a Stanley Cup party in that house with Mario. So once you see the house, you understand why Sid stayed there for so long. But I think as an organization or as a veteran player, when I say when you bring certain free agents or when you keep certain guys on the team, as a GM, you say, listen, we drafted this young player. Caulfield, I believe, already has his own place. At 22, he's going to go live with someone. There's more and more players that sometimes the family comes to live with them. Mom comes in town, dad comes in town. I think it's a good thing. I wish somebody would took me. Donald Odette, I talked about earlier in the program, helped me out, had me stay at his house once in a while, had me over for dinner, but Donald was out for the year. I was living in an apartment downtown by myself. Downtown Buffalo is not as sexy as downtown Montreal, to be honest with you. I don't know why I lived there. There was nothing to do, but I wish I had somebody that would take care of me.
Is that Chippewa or?
Just right next to it. Yeah, I was right on the river. You know? I lived in Danny Garrett's place. I rented that place with Keith Carney. Yeah. And he was like 24. I was 19. Never paid a bill in my life. So we move in there. And the day we move in, Keith Carney gets sent down. So I lived there by myself about 45 minutes away from Hammers, where all the players lived. So I had long nights there. I wasn't going out all that much, but I think it's a good thing in the NHL that the player, but I think the players know, like, once you get that much money and that much responsibility and the love of the fans, you owe the fans, you owe the team, you owe your teammates, and you better keep it straight. There's a time and place for everything. Now, if you have that money, you can have a good time on a Saturday here and there. You can have a good time in the summer. You can buy yourself a nice car. Obviously, you can get a nice condo. But the main reason why you get that money, and I'm talking like I know what I'm talking about. I never got a contract like that. But it's because who you are, what you've done, and the pursuit of excellence. Never be satisfied. Wanting to be a better hockey player. Wanting to bring the Montreal Canadiens back to a Stanley Cup team. And I believe that Montreal, obviously with Suzuki, looks like they were bang on. Mark Bergevin was bang on when he gave him the contract. And I'm pretty sure they were bang on with him. And they'll be... They'll have to sign Gouley in the next few years, but I think it's going to be another good choice.
So after playing with Malkin and Crosby, among others, and winning a Stanley Cup with them in Pittsburgh, what did you see about their demeanor, about the way they conducted themselves on the ice and off the ice, that if you could give Caulfield some advice the way Gino used to do it or the way Sid used to do it, what advice can you give them?
Well, Sid had Mario, right? Live with him, but Sid is Sid. Sid, as long as the image of the NHL is in Sidney Crosby's hand, it's never going to be in better hands than that. He's such a good person. Sergei Gonchar was unbelievable for Malkin. Honestly, I think that's why he got him, and he was very good for them. But those guys, they wanted to be better. They wanted to win. They wanted to get better every day. The year I got there in 2008, 2009, he lost it to Detroit the year before. And there's nothing they wouldn't do to get better in the summer, in the season, challenging each other, being in each other's face. And it was all about winning. So sooner or later in Montreal, for those guys, it's going to have to be all about winning. Sidney Crosby's all about winning right now. He wants to find another way to get another cup there. So those guys are going to have to be about winning, about moving forward. And it's to me, it's you got to have those guys grow together. When I came to Pittsburgh, you had Max Talbot, Dupree, Fleury, and then obviously Crosby, Malkin, and a bunch of Tyler Kennedy, and a bunch of guys that some of them obviously were high draft picks with Malkin and Crosby, but some of them were together in the minors. Some of them, let's say, might be RV. Could RV Pinar be the next Max Talbot? Why not? Right? So those guys grew together, grew up together. They went to my, and then they added free agents. I came in, I was in a supporting role, but then Kunitz came in and Guerin came in, and that. Then they added to the mix. It was good veterans, and they fell short the year before. And we won that year in 2009, and you know, we all know what they've done. They've won more cups after that. But I think to have that group of players, identify you want to move on with, identify who you want to not move on with, and bring in some people. It might have been easier to bring free agents in Pittsburgh. But again, if they were able to do that here in Montreal, I think we could be on a good run. But it's going to take years. We got to be patient here.
Yeah,
it's a great duo, but he needs to be complimented. And Kirby Dach could be a number one center in the NHL, but I think it's going to take another 2 or 3 years. And Gouley can be a number one defenseman. Again, it's going to take 2 or 3 years. And Montembeau can be a number one goalie. We might see that next year, I believe. Let's hope so. I think he can be that good with patience, but then you're going to have to bring in some supporting cast to help them.
A shout-out to Matrix Home Fitness. Strong, smart, beautiful. MatrixHomeFitness.ca is the website. You check them out. Bring it home. Discover a club-quality workout in the comfort of your own home. Visit MatrixHomeFitness.ca. I have the treadmill, and Agnello has the elliptical. I also have the rower as well. Quality, quality products. All right, okay. In ending. I told you I was going to get back to the Quebec Ramparts very, very quickly. Patrick Roy. We talked about the best coaching he's ever done. We hear he's not going to the New York Rangers, and we hear he's not going to the Columbus Blue Jackets. And you get one of those feelings that Patrick is going to be blackballed when it comes to the National Hockey League. And I hope I'm wrong, because I'm not going to lie to you. For the longest time, I thought I can understand why teams are staying away from him. Patrick gives me the impression that he wants to be the coach. He wants to be the GM. He wants to be the assistant coach. He wants to be the assistant GM. He wants to be the physio. He wants to be the trainer. He wants to be the water boy. He wants to be everything. Yeah. I had a little bit of a change of an opinion, because I believe in second chances. And quite frankly, this is some of the best coaching that I've ever seen done at the junior level that Patrick did. But with the Rangers turning him down, it almost leaves me with the impression that Chris Drury talked to Joe Sakic. Now, I don't know. Does he need to
do that, though? They played together, right? Back to the Penguins. I played with Bill Guerin. Bill Guerin called me when I was a coach in Quebec. Say, Phil, listen, I'm the assistant GM in Pittsburgh, and I'd like to work with you. Would you consider maybe getting an interview, maybe coaching for me in American Hockey League? And he called me 2 days later. He said, hey, Phil, sorry. And Bill Guerin is a funny guy. Say, hey, Phil, sorry, I don't have that much pull. I thought I was running the minor league team, but I'm not. And because they need it, he said, Phil, they want to bring a veteran coach, because we're going to fire the coach mid-season. And that's when Sullivan came in. So it depends what the relationship you have. I had a good relationship with Bill Guerin. He would have brought me in there if he had a say, if he had 100% of the say. Chris Drury, Patrick Roy doesn't leave anybody indifferent. Indifferent.
Yeah.
So does Drury like him or not? I guess we found out today. They probably didn't really get along. Because to me, I'm not sure even Patrick Roy believed he was going to get interviewed in November. But after what he did this year, it's very, very impressive what he was able to do with that team and connect with those young players. And to have a perfect season, as perfect as that game was last night, that was one of the best games I've ever seen a junior team play. That's exactly what their season was all about.
They were a well-oiled machine, Alter. They were fantastic. The way they played last night, it's one of the best performances from a junior team I've seen ever.
Top to bottom, goaltending, offense, special teams, everything. And then I believe Patrick deserved to be in consideration to get interviews. And then from then, once you get him in an office, it's up to him to sell himself, up to him to answer the questions that you have. Do you want to be the coach, or you want to be everything else?
In ending.
Yeah, I want to be the coach.
Yeah, in ending, what team do you think would be a better fit for Patrick Roy to coach? A team that's ready to win now with mostly veterans, or a team full of young kids? And I'll give you an example, both in a Canadian market.
Yeah.
Both in a Canadian market. And I know they both have coaches.
I have a team in mind,
But Toronto or Ottawa?
Ottawa.
Would Patrick would be a, Patrick Roy would be a better fit in Ottawa?
Yeah, because he could bring that group to the next level in time. Toronto should. Toronto has the pressure to win now. Toronto needs to win ASAP. And who's going to be there? They do have active coaches, and they might be very good. But I would... And just for the rivalries and bring people into the seats, if I was a new owner of that team, I would strongly recommend my GM to talk to Patrick Roy again and to bring him there. Because, you know, to, how do you bring the French people to Ottawa to fill the seats, to get behind the team? And it's a very good, very, very good young team that's not going to win next year, but that could win in 2 or 3 years. And sometimes it takes time and patience to bring a group to the next level. To me, that would be the best. Anywhere in the NHL, that would be the best fit for Patrick Roy and for the organization.
Could you
it
imagine,
would be a perfect fit for Ottawa.
And could you imagine the rivalry with the Montreal Canadiens, a rivalry that used to exist because they played each other a couple of times in the playoffs with both teams winning a series apiece. And by the way, I mean, since we're talking about the Quebec Rempart, it's also an opportunity for me to say that during the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League playoffs, the MVP, Italian kid Malatesta, and also at the Memorial Cup as well, James Malatesta.
Oh, I wish I... okay, I can't say everything. I know a lot of it. I'll stop there. James is having a good time tonight. I know about it. Good, enjoy.
I would imagine so.
You should be proud. Honestly, that kid's going to play in the NHL. To me, Gaucher was the grit. Malatesta was the grit. Robida brought in a lot of grit. To me, Sherbrooke was built to beat Quebec, and they didn't get there. And they might have had a chance, but when he brought that grit and Malatesta, listen, you're the MVP of the playoffs and the MVP of the Memorial Cup. How can you end your junior career on a better note than that?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. There's no better way to end this show on a better note than when Philippe Boucher joins you, Phil. I so loved our chat the first time around. I enjoyed this one even more. I hope once again that we can do it a lot more frequently. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me on what is such an important night in Montreal Canadiens history. Cole Caulfield, a Montreal Canadien for the next 8 years. Merci beaucoup, Phil.
Bonsoir, mon ami.
All right. Bonsoir à toi. There you have it. Philippe Boucher, once again, Marinaro, the Sick Podcast, brought to you in part by Energy Transportation Group, La Bite à TB, Murphy Clinic, and Playground. All right. Awesome show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you did, like it, share it with your friends, and comment SICK, S-I-C-K, S-I-C-K, S-I-C-K. If you're going to listen to us on Google, Apple, or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review. It's our way of feeling the love. It is the SICK Podcast, and we are Montreal's Habs Authority, the SICK Podcast. Franiello and Sammy at Master Control, they're Cavallaro. Congrats, Colt. I'm Marinaro.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Tony Marinaro on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. The Sick Podcast is brought to you by Energy Transportation Group. Driven to be different. La Vida TV. Embrace your true nature.